Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
A reading from Joel. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sound the alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near. A day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness. Like blackness spread upon the mountains, a great and powerful army comes. Their like has never been from of old, nor will it again after them in ages to come. Yet even now, says the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Rend your hearts, not your clothing. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and relents from punishing. Who knows whether he will not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the aged, gather the children, even infants at the breast. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her canopy. Between the vestibule and the altar, let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep. Let them say, spare your people, O Lord, and do not make your heritage a mockery, a byword among the nations. Why should it be said among the peoples, where is their God? Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. The psalm is Psalm 51, 1 through 17. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. In your great compassion, blot out my offenses. Wash me through and through from my wickedness and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my offenses and my sin is ever before me. Against you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are justified when you speak and write in your judgment. Indeed, I was born steeped in wickedness, a sinner from my mother's womb. Indeed, you delight in truth deep within me and would have me know wisdom deep within. Remove my sins with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me, and I shall be purer than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness, that the body you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my wickedness. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain me with your bountiful spirit. Let me teach your ways to offenders, and sinners shall be restored to you. Rescue me from bloodshed, O God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall proclaim your praise. For you take no delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You are not pleased with burnt offering. The sacrifice of God is a troubled spirit, a troubled and broken heart, O God, you will not despise. A reading from 2 Corinthians. We entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As we work together with him, we urge you also not to accept the grace of God in vain. For he says, at an acceptable time I have listened to you, and on a day of salvation I have helped you. See, now is the acceptable time. See, now is the day of salvation. We are putting no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we have commanded ourselves in every way, through great endurance in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, holiness of spirit, genuine love, truthful speech, and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, in honor and dishonor, in ill repute and good repute. We are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet are well known, as dying and see we are alive, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing everything. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the disciples, "Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust consume, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I have to admit that I don't like it. I don't like being confronted with my failure. I want so badly to see myself as a good, respectable, caring person. My intentions are generally so good. Then someone points out that my behavior, my actions betray my intentions. I fail to reach out to people who are hurting, grieving, in need of care. I fail to respond when someone names their need directly. I have all kinds of reasons. Those reasons are so well thought out. They are so reasonable. And yet, those reasonable reasons give me license to behave in ways that are contrary to the care for my neighbor, for you, and for those around us. Sometimes my reasons are a problem. Sometimes my reasons are that I am afraid. I'm afraid to be vulnerable. I'm afraid that others will quit liking me. I'm afraid that others will attack me. I'm afraid of all kinds of consequences, real and imagined. I don't like being confronted with my failure at times when I am confident I have done nothing wrong. Yet, in the bright light, my actions betray my self-understanding. I do not like it at all. I've kept all of this general because I suspect you can fill in your own particularities. One way of addressing it is to offer the sweeping generalization that I don't like being human. I don't like having foibles, limitations, needing help. All of that is true, and yet there are deeper issues at play. 12-step communities talk about how our best thinking got us here. We cannot use the same thinking to get out. There are times when it is important to assess behavior, not intention. It is important to consider what has gone well. It is important to ponder how best intentions, best thinking, best desire has brought one to calamitous ends. It is important to look carefully at the ways that real harm is done. What I really don't like is coming face to face with ways that I benefit from laws, policies, practices, and culture in government, in church structures, while others are nudged to the wayside. I sat with the women in the Word group this morning. They have been reading White Fragility by Robin DiAngelo. Through their spirited discussion, this group has opened themselves to vulnerability. They have allowed themselves to be confronted. It is such hard work. I attended training in January for building an inclusive church with members of the inclusion team. In that training, I had opportunity to see how hard the work of affirming LGBTQIA plus individuals is. More so, I got glimpses of how my best intentions often lead to hurtful and harmful behavior. It is such hard work. I ponder ways that congregations gather as communities of similar social and economic and, well, many other cultural markers. God's intention and most people's intention is contrary to this reality. So often people say that all are welcome, but folks are only welcome to the extent they are willing to assimilate. God doesn't desire homogenization, assimilation. God created diversity. Yet it is so hard for humans to live into and affirm, indeed celebrate, that very diversity. Perhaps you have similar experiences, awarenesses, wonderings. Perhaps you think, I'm completely wrong. Either way, none of us can deny the call to repentance that this church hears in the scripture this night. Joel calls the community to repentance. He admonishes the whole community to turn toward God. He calls them to grieve their behaviors that have done harm on a grand scale. He calls them to rend their hearts, not their clothing, because, well, tearing one's garment is a way of showing those around that one is grieving, that those around may want to treat the grieving one with tender care. But who needs to see the faithful or grieving? God, who sees our very hearts. God knows. Return to the Lord your God, for God is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and relents from punishing. St. Paul entreats the congregation in Corinth to be reconciled to God. He asserts that God's grace calls for transformation. Indeed, in the face of great challenge, at risk of humiliation on so many counts, the faithful are transformed into bold bearers of God's grace, working with God for the good of all. God's promise is to hear the pleas of God's own beloved at an acceptable time. Indeed, Paul exclaims, now is the acceptable time. Jesus admonishes his disciples to take care that their practices of devotion, of piety, intentions matter, to be sure, and yet too often those intentions bend toward desire for affirmation from peers rather than from God. Jesus reminds his disciples then and now that God knows the inmost reality and action. This is a call to live faith in a way that focuses on relationship with God more than worrying about relationship with peers. In my experience, that involves risk. Yet Jesus calls the faithful to pay attention to what treasure they seek to accumulate. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. As the church enters into the disciplines of Lent, let us dare to confess those ways that our desires, our intentions, indeed our behaviors, do not align with God's desires, God's intentions, God's activity. Let us focus ever more deeply on the ways that God desires relationship with us. Let us recommit ourselves to worship, to prayer, to scripture reading, to community in Christ, that each one of us may be continually transformed by God's grace and conformed to life in Christ.
Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at saintandrewslutheran.org. That's saintandrewslutheran.org. Have a glorious week.